This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday, the 5th day of May. Flying solo today, our normal Tuesday guy, Damon Day, with the baseball season over, taking care of those year-end things. So we'll talk with Damon a little bit later on about what's going on next for the Loper program. And speaking of the Lopers, don't forget that tonight it is the 6th annual Loper Football Backers Banquet, which will be going on, of course, at the Eunice Conference Center. And we'll have social hour at 5:30, and then dinner's at 6:30. The live auction is at 7:30. The silent auction will be going on the whole time we are there as well tonight. Hope you can make it out to the Eunice Conference Center tonight for the 6th annual Loper Football Backers Banquet. And other news that we've got going on, let's tell you who's going to be on the program today. Good. And again, I gave you my take. If you missed it, you can go to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Listen to the Doug and Daddy podcast from yesterday. Gave me my take on the fight from Saturday. Tony Boone has been, I mean, there's not been a lot of boxing to cover until the last couple, 3 years here with Terrence Bud Crawford. But Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald is on that beat. He is the boxing man. He is going to join us on today's Doug and Daddy show because there had been talk that Crawford could be the next opponent for Manny Pacquiao, but will Manny Pacquiao fight again? And if so, how soon? We'll get a little comment from Tony, who is covering that. Plus, we are starting to wind down the spring sports season. Got a lot of conference track meets going on this week, or they happened this past weekend, so it's the week of conference. Next week, it's districts, then it's off to Omaha for state. We'll be live at the Luplat Conference track meet in Wood River on Thursday, so our Doug and Daddy show will originate from Wood River Thursday, plus we'll be giving you updates here on ESPN and Classic Hits 98.9 all day Thursday from the track meet. Hopefully, the weather doesn't affect it. We all hope that. We want the rain, but let's just, you know, schedule it, right? Kevin Mayfield, Wood River track coach, is going to join us a little bit later on towards the end of the program today to talk about who's strong in the Lou Platt, what marks could be going down. We're starting to see some meet records being set here in a couple of these things, from Ord to Grand Island Central Catholics meet to the Fort Kearney Conference to some other things that have been going on here recently, and we'll talk with Kevin about that. Love to hear from you. 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. You can always email the Den Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, you can always tweet us at ESPN1460, 1550, at ESPN1460. And 1550. It's all part of today's Doug and Daddy show. Love to hear from you. And one of the not peculiar, but if you're looking for a good read, or if you're just looking for more on Ron Brown, Sam McEwen caught up with Ron. He was in South Dakota at a speaking engagement, and just some words about why he left Youngstown State so quickly and went to Liberty, using that it was his faith that he could go and be a little bit better situation there, and it had nothing to do with Bo Pelini. But what else are you going to say on the surface? You're never going to throw your coaches under the bus, your players under the bus. But if you want to know more about it, check out the article from what Sam had to get from Ron Brown. Good stuff there on the move. Very obviously peculiar that you would only you'd be at a coaching site and then not even be an assistant coach or head coach for one game. We've seen this quick turnaround where somebody like a Dana Altman or a Billy Donovan, or there's three or four others that'll take a job, and then the very next day or 48 hours later they decided, well, what was I thinking? I'm out of here. I'm going to go back and take my original job. Well, this is not the case. He was there through spring ball. He was there for over 3 months when Bo Pelini hired him on, and now he has moved on. So an interesting read there. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It is May the 5th. If you're having some fun out there, you can have some fun as well with the folks at the Chicken Coop. If you would like to stop by for lunch or any time, they like to party it up just as much as the next guy. Plan a lunch today at the Chicken Coop, and maybe, just maybe, you'll want to try out something new on the menu. We've told you about this a couple of times. Of course, known for their famous chicken wings, bone-in, boneless. Whether you want the new mango habanero sauce or one of your old favorites like the Jack or honey barbecue, honey Dijon, one of my favorites. There's so many that you can try now. You can try them on duck wings. Now, obviously, these are a little bit bigger wing, but try them out. You can get the sauce on them, or you can just have them breaded like we tried out last week over at the Chicken Coop. These are Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks, quality meat, and they'll put them on your favorite sauce, and they have 14 different flavors to choose from. If you're not into that, of course, you've got the same great fun and food that you do every single time while you're playing a little Keno, while you're watching your favorite sporting events, while you're just kicking back, having an appetizer, a full-fledged meal from steak, pizza, burgers, or if you just want to sit back with a salad like you have on Tuesday. That's their Tuesday special, $1 off any salad on the menu. Only at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. They're the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Stop by and see them any day. Open 7 days a week. Well, because you're hungry 7 days a week. Getting to some Nebraska football news here today. The Huskers have picked up their fourth oral commitment for 2016. I didn't look back, but boy, didn't it seem, and again, this will have to do with the coaching change, but Nebraska seemed like they were so far ahead of recruiting last year, which then took a mini hit with the coaching change. There were three or four that decided to decommit and go elsewhere. This is from a junior college linebacker. Obviously, we know that Nebraska is thin at the linebacker position, but still, William Johnson will not be able to join until the 2016 recruiting class when he'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining. 6'3", 225-pounder out of Arizona Western, who was the fifth-ranked junior college football team in the country last season. Another side note, former Husker Terrence Smith, who was among the basketball players to leave the program last month, he's going to Duquesne, an Atlantic 10 school in Pittsburgh. Of course, after playing in all the Husker games, he decided to transfer. Duquesne kind of in the same boat as Nebraska. They were 12-19, and what was Nebraska? 13-18, and 6-12 in the conference. So that's where Terrence Smith is going to go. And Nebraska outfielder Luis Alvarado has been named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Alvarado started in three of Nebraska's four games last week, three against Northwestern and the one Creighton game. Hit .500. He's the third Husker to be named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Because it is finals week, they will not play until Saturday. It's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday for those of you that kind of get that and maybe have a Monday off. The Monday, Tuesday is your weekend. Nebraska baseball in Lincoln on Monday afternoon, and it looks like it could be a little cool. The weather that you would normally see maybe for the home opener is what you'll see maybe on Monday, and they might have to play through some raindrops as well. And again, very important that Nebraska gets these three games in, because Purdue is 2-16 in the conference, and Nebraska has a chance to make up some ground. Let's face it, some of the other schools that were at the top of the conference got to play the Northwesterns, the Purdues, the bottom and cellar dwellers of the conference. Nebraska just getting to do that before going off to Illinois to wrap up the regular season. They've got to get them in against Purdue, and they've they got to win them. I mean, they have to win two, and you would love to win three. And if they can win three, then they're back above 500 in the conference. You could go to Illinois, the sixth-ranked team in the country. If you just get one at Illinois, you're at 500. You're in the NCAA tournament, and that's all this team would want. So the Huskers sitting at that spot where they are hoping to get the games in with Purdue Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And speaking of college baseball, our friends from collegebaseballinsider.com, who we've talked to previously on the show, they take together all these polls. There's really five national polls that you look at, and then they kind of combine them and give you that composite ranking. Well, LSU is number one in every major college baseball poll, setting at 40-8, and they are the consensus number one, while Texas A&M and Louisville are tied for second, UCLA fourth, TCU fifth, Illinois is sixth. Then you have Vanderbilt, Florida State, UC Santa Barbara, and Florida rounding out the top 10. By the way, Iowa sets in the number 18 slot. And this is kind of the time where you start to pay attention. You're that casual sports fan. Who's coming to Omaha? Who's got a chance to be in the College World Series? Well, those are your big hitters. Those are your big boys sitting there in the top 10. And you've also got some perennial names right out of the top 10. Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Miami, Southern California. Can you believe if some of those teams, some of those perennial powers, the ones that have the nostalgia, could find their way to Omaha? Now, those teams that we just mentioned probably would be playing regional finals on the road, probably number one seeds and hosting the regionals, but would have to go to a spot for a super regional. And then you got the interesting teams that are always there between 15 and 20. Besides Iowa, you've got Dallas Baptist, Missouri State, Florida Atlantic, the College of Charleston, and then Rice is 20th. Not exactly the biggest schools in the world and not exactly baseball powerhouses outside of what Rice had been able to do. So I think you're once again going to have a good mixture of the powers, a little bit of the tradition, and then some of those newcomers, some of those schools that you've never heard of, the ones you don't want to draw. You know they'll be a 3 or 4 seed just because of their strength of schedule, but it's going to be interesting as the baseball postseason rolls around. As we mentioned, we're going to talk a little track here a little bit later on. Soccer will continue today. That's one thing about the rain. That doesn't usually slow down what's going on in soccer. It may have to move them around a little bit, but congratulations to Kearney High. Both the boys and girls picked up wins last night, and the Kearney High boys go up to Norfolk, beat the defending state runner-up in Omaha Westside 3-2. The Cats down at the half, came out quickly in the second half, got the lead up to 2 at 3-1. Westside fought back, had a chance to actually tie it, but we talked about Edwin and the great goaltending with Coach Scott Steinbrook last week. And they advance on, and they almost caught a huge break because Norfolk, the number one seed at home, had to go overtime, and they did beat Lincoln High by a score of 4-3. Very rarely do you see that many goals scored in a night of soccer, but 5 in the Kearney game, 7 in the Norfolk game. They'll play in Norfolk tomorrow at 6:30. For the Kearney High girls, they thump Lincoln High in Kearney 8-1, and they will host Norfolk tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Norfolk beat Omaha Central. The other soccer today, the A6 Grand Island boys will try and find some of that postseason magic when they play Lincoln North Star at Millard South at 6 o'clock. The B7 at Hastings, Kearney Catholic, who beat Central Catholic yesterday, will play Grand Island Northwest at 5, followed by Hastings and York, and the B8 final today in Lexington. The Minutemen will play Scottsbluff at 4:30. The A7 girls, that's where Grand Island competes against Bellevue West at Lincoln High, scheduled for tonight at 8 o'clock. B7 is at York. Northwest, who beat Nebraska Lutheran yesterday, will take on York at 4, followed by Hastings taking on Seward. And then the B8 here in Kearney, Lexington and Scottsbluff at 4. Kearney Catholic, the top seed, will play Holdridge at 6 o'clock with the final coming up on Thursday. When we come back, don't talk a lot of boxing with analysts and guests on the show, but we are going to do that with Tony Boone and touch on a couple of other sporting notes. Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald will join us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth when we come back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life with 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation, a very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Digger's Green Thumb is a locally owned greenhouse in Kennesaw. Come see the selection of the finest bedding and vegetable plants, hanging baskets, and gifts galore for your mom this Mother's Day. You will find geraniums, hanging baskets, and planters at a great price and unique garden ornaments that you just have to see to appreciate. Show mom how much you appreciate everything that she does by brightening her garden and her day. Digger's in Kennesaw, one block south of the tracks on South Smith Avenue. We know how your garden grows with plants from Digger's.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Cloudy today with areas of showers and a few thunderstorms. High near 71. Tonight, mainly cloudy. Areas of showers and storms, low near 57. Wednesday, areas of storms. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 63.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here on ESPN Radio. A reminder that the Kearney American Legion barbecue auction and fundraiser is this Friday night, as always, held at the Broadfoot Sand and Gravel site, which is just south of Skeeter Barn, south of the interstate here in Kearney. If you've gone to it every year, you know the story. If you're new to it, $10 includes meal, all your drinks, a raffle ticket. There's a lot of great silent auction items, golf trips, including to the Prairie Club, signed Tri-City Storm jerseys. There's always great tickets and signed Major League Baseball players' jerseys, tickets to the Alabama concert this summer. It helps sponsors the Kearney American Legion baseball teams, and it starts 6 o'clock for some great food, drinks, and fun at the Kearney American Legion barbecue auction and get-together on Friday night at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel. Well, the breaking news, which anything that, you know, I think the president passes gas, it's breaking news anymore, but ESPN saying that Floyd Mayweather has texted Stephen A. Smith, his good friend, this morning, that he would fight Manny Pacquiao next year after Pacquiao has surgery, which it appears he's going to do for his shoulder, and you've heard the story about he was fighting injured on Saturday night. It is a soap opera. I'll tell you what, that's one thing that hasn't changed about boxing. It is always a soap opera. And to talk a little boxing from the Omaha World Herald, our buddy Tony Boone. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, Doug?
What's your favorite soap opera?
Anything that involves Floyd Mayweather has to top the list, right?
I'll tell you what, that's new news that we've got right there. I will start with getting this Pacquiao Crawford thing going. If this happens, that won't, correct?
If the Crawford Pacquiao happens,
if Mayweather says, "Hey, I'll fight Pacquiao," Manny wouldn't fight again before that, would he?
I would doubt not. You know, they're saying that he's going to be out probably a year already. You know, the Crawford fight could come up, I suppose, at that point. They've been talking about it for a while. I still think we're a couple of fights on Crawford's end away from that happening anyway. And yes, I think a rematch with Floyd would take precedence over anything for Pacquiao, just for the fact of the payday involved.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You've watched more boxing than most of our listeners, or as we and me and my co-hosts have. And I just to kind of summarize what I said yesterday, if anybody is perturbed about paying $100 to watch the fight, get a life, get real. You wanted to watch the fight. That's why you paid for it. And I'm sure you weren't just sitting in your house by yourself paying the $100 to watch the fight. These guys, they got the money. They knew what. There's no different than any other sport. I mean, how many of these free agents in baseball don't have all-star years the next year after they make $200, $300 million? They did what they were supposed to do. And if Pacquiao truly was hurt, that'll explain a little bit of it. I just want your take on the fight.
Well, it wasn't anything that I didn't expect, Doug. I guess I'd start with that. You know, if you've seen Floyd Mayweather fight once, you've seen him fight 10 times because he fights the same fashion every single time. Now, different opponents bring different things to the table. The thing about Floyd that's made him the top fighter in the game at this stage is the fact he's able to neutralize everything that everyone else does. Manny Pacquiao wasn't any different. You could tell in the first round of that fight that it was going to be fought at a pace that Floyd Mayweather wanted, whereas Pacquiao probably would have preferred a faster-paced fight. And it was fought at a distance that Floyd Mayweather wanted. He was the taller, longer guy. He was able to stay away from Pacquiao from the beginning of the fight, and you know, you saw Floyd do what he does best. Once he got into his comfort zone, he would do things like back himself into the ropes, let Manny chase him in, try to catch him on his way in, and when Manny got close enough to actually throw something, Floyd would duck down and roll out of it and set back up shop again and make Manny come at him again. And as an opponent, I'd have to think that'd have to get frustrating after a while. I've always felt that the recipe for beating Mayweather was to be right on top of him all the time, really just smother him and not let him breathe. There have been three or four fighters that have been able to do that a little bit against Floyd, but never anybody with enough talent to consistently apply it, or a guy that was big enough even to consistently apply it to where Floyd wasn't really able to get off in this fight. He really throws punches at a high connect percentage. He did that again against Pacquiao, and by the end of the night, Floyd had thrown more punches. He had landed a lot more punches, and I didn't think it was a close fight at all, although I was really surprised when I was watching on Twitter as I was watching the fight how many people that were actually at the fight that thought it was a lot closer than what it really was.
As a, I don't want to call myself a novice, but I will obviously tip my cap to you for knowing a little bit more about this. Why, as we sit there and watch the pay-per-view, why can't a round ever be a push?
Well, it could. I think that most of the governing bodies in boxing kind of frown against it. But you'll see judges give a 10-10 round once in a while. It's not very often, and I'm trying to think of the last fight that I've watched that even had one. And none are coming to mind right away, but they do happen once in a while. Usually you never see more than one in a fight if there ever is one. But and usually when they do happen, a lot of times they're early in fights because, you know, that's kind of when everyone's setting their strategy. And you see both competitors kind of feeling each other out within the first round or two. Mayweather's exceptional at doing that. He'll give away a round or two early in a fight just to try to figure his guy out, time the guy, and then make up for it later on. But, yeah, you know, it is possible to get one of those, but you're right. You don't see him very often at boxing anymore.
Talking with Tony Boone here on the Doug and Daddy Show, if there is a rematch, obviously the hype can't be near as much, but I still think there'd be a lot of hype, and a lot of people would watch it, and there would be a good amount of money because somebody always wants to pay for something like this.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it's for two reasons. One, I think a lot of people that maybe didn't have the same view of the fight or would prefer an aggressive fighter over a guy like Floyd, you know, there might be people actually out there that think that Manny won the fight, especially because Manny said he thought he won the fight. And the second thing is, there's always going to be that group of people that pay because they want to see Floyd Mayweather get beat. And I have to think that a lot of Floyd's pay-per-view numbers over the years have been brought about because the idea that this guy has a chance to be the one to erase that O from his record. Now, I can maybe count on one hand how many guys I actually thought really had a chance going into it. Not that I ever thought he was necessarily going to get beat, but I actually thought some guys had a better chance than what other guys. Kind of for the reasons that I mentioned before about being a pressure fighter and just keeping, you know, your distance really close to him at all times to where you can just really smother him and not let him do what he wants to do. So I think you're right. And, you know, for two reasons, people will buy it. They still think Pacquiao's the one guy out there that can beat him, and I think a lot of people would pay because they just want to see him get beat. They want to be watching that one time when somebody shuts Floyd Mayweather up.
Tony, I'll ask you this. You talked about the pace, and we can compare this to a variety of sports. You got a basketball team that likes to score 75, 80 points, and then you've got Mo Iba that likes to keep it at 55, or a defensive coach. So you knew going in that the styles were different. Why wasn't Pacquiao able to at least attempt to get his strategy going in this fight?
Well, I think it's just because of Mayweather. He's so good at what he does, and he really, you know, more than anything, takes everyone else out of their game plan right away. I think that analogy you put together is a great one, and I've been kind of using that to the folks around here that I've been talking to about the fight that seem to be really disappointed with how it went. You can't stay undefeated by going out there and, you know, going to war with a guy every single night. Maybe a lot of people were spoiled growing up in the Mike Tyson era where that's the way he fought. But if you look at the end of the game, you know, Tyson went out on his tush at the end of his career, and he finished with quite a few losses. And, you know, once that happens once, then all bets are off, you know. I just think it's pretty impossible to make Floyd Mayweather fight a different way. And the way you've got to do that, or get him at least out of his comfort element, is to at least beat him in the pace that he's in. If he's going to fight at the slower pace, then you need to be in there stealing rounds from him, which means staying on top of him the entire round. It's hard to do. Now, obviously, no one's been able to do it as of yet. But if you can stay on top of him and out-throw him and out-land him round after round after round after round, eventually, maybe he has to come out of that shell a little bit more, and maybe he has to turn it into more of an offensive fight because he feels like he's behind on the scorecards. No one's just put him in that position to this point.
Well, Tony, we all know that if this was the first boxing match, I bet there's a lot of people that hadn't watched one in 5 years or more. If you want to watch guys go toe to toe, watch the hungry fighters. Watch the guys that aren't there yet. Watch that late night, weekend stuff. Maybe from guys you haven't heard of. I mean, the checks were in the bank here, people.
Right. Well, that's a great point, and I feel like that's the one bad thing that came out of that. I wasn't disappointed in the fight at all on Saturday because I knew what I was getting going into it. I even wrote a column here in the World Herald saying that, you know, Floyd's probably going to win this thing by a pretty wide margin, and if Pacquiao really pushes it, maybe even gets knocked out late in the fight because he's going to, you know, overcompensate by realizing he's so far behind that the only thing he can do is knock Floyd out, and it's probably likely going to get countered with something big in the end of the thing. But that's not the way it turned out because, you know, I think Pacquiao knew by the last couple of rounds that there wasn't any chance of pulling that off, and maybe he really was hurt to the extent that he didn't have the tools and toolbox to pull that off anymore. But I think the one disappointing thing is that people have taken that and said, you know, boxing's dying because I didn't enjoy this fight. Like I said before, the writing was on the wall before this. This was not going to be, you know, the super exciting fight that everybody thought it was going to be. If you want to watch that fight, then you tune into HBO this weekend. You wait until after they replay the fight from this past weekend, the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and you watch Canelo Alvarez fight against James Kirkland, because that's going to be an all-out war. And if you want to pay to see controlled violence, then, you know, you tune into that one and watch those two guys inside the squared circle. You know, go around or two, because that one could end at any point. And those two fight in that kind of style. Kirkland, especially, he knows no other way other than to knock out or be knocked out. So if you want to see an action fight, then you need to look ahead of time maybe to see who's actually fighting on the cards and what kind of fights they bring about. Because as much as Pacquiao has been an exciting, explosive fighter over time, Floyd Mayweather just hasn't been. And chances were that what we were going to get is what we ended up seeing.
Yeah, this ain't MMA, folks. Well, we're going to call him Our. I mean, he's a Nebraska boy, and anytime anybody in Nebraska, from a Jack Sock in tennis to Bud Crawford in boxing, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. For those that don't know, where's he at? What's next?
Well, as far as the what's next goes, I think we're all waiting for it. Crawford right now is, I guess, kind of enjoying the time off because, you know, he's earned it. Picked up the Fighter of the Year award, you know, this past year in 2014, had an exceptional year, successfully moved up in weight here just a month ago, not even a month ago, down in Texas. I was able to be ringside for that fight when he fought Tomas Delorme down in Dallas, and he moved up to 140 and scored a 6-round technical knockout to remain undefeated and capture a title in a second weight division, which I thought just had creditability to what he did a year ago. You know, this is a guy that's really on a roll. Obviously, he's got one of the best promotional companies in the world in Top Rank, who has handled the careers of guys like Mayweather and Pacquiao before Crawford ever even got to this level of a fighter. So he's with the right kind of people that are going to push his career, and obviously HBO is really high on it as well. He's fought on HBO pretty much since, you know, going back to March of 2013, minus the one fight he fought over in Scotland for the title early last March in 2014. But, you know, they're clearly going to look for a big fight for him. I know that his handlers want him to have a big fight, especially his co-manager, Cameron Duncan, who's guided the careers of a lot of former champions, guys like Kelly Pavlik and Nonito Donaire. He had Timothy Bradley for quite a while, too. So we'll see what's coming up next. I would be surprised if HBO didn't push Lucas Matisse, who, if anyone watched the Crawford fight, this last month on HBO, Matisse was fighting in the second half of that doubleheader. It was a split fight doubleheader where Crawford fought in Texas, and two other guys in his weight class fought out in New York. Matisse was the guy that won that fight. He is an action type fighter, a kind of guy that could give Mayweather problems, perhaps if he was a little bit bigger. I wouldn't be surprised if HBO tried to push that one on there. Personally, I'd like to see Crawford get a bigger name opponent. I know that that's what his handlers would want. Pacquiao would be a guy, obviously, that would be clearly accepted on the Crawford end because there's the most risk there, but there's also the most reward if you beat a named guy like that. If Pacquiao's not in the mix, which it doesn't sound like he would be because he'd either be tied up with his surgery and rehab or else a potential rematch with Mayweather if Floyd really is going to stick around, which is funny how he's going to be done in September and now he's already talking into next year. It's amazing what a check with nine figures will do for you and changing your mind over a weekend, huh?
Wouldn't know,
as far
right?
as the guys I'd like to see Crawford go after or at least get matched up with, the name I threw out right away was Juan Manuel Marquez. He's the guy that knocked out Pacquiao just a couple of years ago. Now, he's 41, had a knee injury last year, had a win in his last fight, but he's been off for almost a year now, and I know that his family really wants him to hang it up because he's 41 years old. I don't know if he's ready to do that. But that would be a great fight for Crawford because I think that it's, you know, you're fighting a boxing legend at that point, and there's a lot of reward if Crawford could put that kind of notch on his belt because that's the one thing he's really missing so far is that big win over a named fighter. The only one of those he really has was the knockout of Yoriorkis Gamboa, but Gamboa was the smaller guy. If Crawford could do that, you know, at 140 or 147, it'd be a lot bigger. Other names I threw out there were Timothy Bradley, who actually has a fight in June, so that couldn't happen for a while. I know Crawford went to training camp at the Bradley before and was his sparring partner. And for those who don't know Bradley, he's the guy that split decisions with Pacquiao, although I never thought he actually won the fight that he got the decision against Manny. He did lose in the rematch, but he's 31-1-1. He's been fighting at 147. He's considered one of the top 10 fighters pound for pound and in the world right now. And the other name I threw out there was Danny Garcia, who is actually considered the guy in the division that Crawford's in right now. He's undefeated, but he's thinking about moving up to 147 because that's where Mayweather, Pacquiao, Bradley, Marquez, all those guys are at 147, and everybody wants to go after those paychecks. So it makes a surprise if Garcia didn't stick around at 140. But he's undefeated. He has some signature wins within his career, beat Eric Morales twice, knocked out Amir Khan. He would be a good guy to see Crawford matched up against with rival promotional companies. Those chances of that matchup happening are probably not very good. But Garcia and Crawford have a little bit of a history because going back to when they were amateurs, they fought twice in major tournaments, and each one of those matchups, both of them were by 1 point. So I'd be really intrigued to see that. So those would be the three fights I would want to see. I just don't know if any of them could get made.
Tony Boone, Omaha World Herald, final question here. Now, is there another Nebraska fighter? Is there a pipeline going to start here? Or is there anybody else in the near future that could follow on Crawford's coattails here?
Well, I suppose there is. I know that that's obviously what the guys down at B&D Boxing, which is the boxing academy that Crawford started with his co-trainer or his co-manager and trainer, Brian McIntyre. They are the B&B, Bud and Brian. They have the boxing academy up north, and I think that's what their hope is, to turn Crawford's success into developing the next fighter. As far as guys from Nebraska that are going right now that are worth taking a look at, or at least you know, following along a little bit, Johnny Detterman's undefeated. He's been fighting on Crawford undercards. Really hasn't fought anybody significant of note as of yet. Some people that came out to that card that Crawford was on out in Grand Island here a few years ago, which seems like forever ago as of now, the way Crawford's career has skyrocketed. But Detterman was on that card. He's fought on the three Crawford undercards. here coming up. He's still undefeated now. He's in Texas now, and he's working as a police officer down there, and I'm not sure how his current career, full-time career, and his boxing career are going to coexist, you know, the higher level he gets, so we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. The other one that's interesting of note is a guy named Steven Nelson, who was originally from Omaha but didn't start boxing until he got into the Army. He's a war veteran, was sent overseas a couple of times. He's in his mid to upper 20s now, but he stayed as an amateur because he was an alternate on the 2012 Olympic team that went to London, and he's stayed as an amateur because he really wants to try to make it to Rio de Janeiro next year as the U.S. representative at light heavyweight. Good fighter, action fighter. Like I said, he's a little bit older and got a little bit later start, but he's been running around with the Crawford camp a lot and has been able to do a lot of training with them. So maybe he's a guy that once he decides to turn professional, that maybe worth looking at down the road. I just don't know, A, how long that's going to take before he decides to go pro. It certainly won't be until he knows his status with the Olympic Games next year. But he's also, you know, up there in age and everything like that. And a lot of times, you know, you need to get into the pro game a little bit earlier if you're going to last a lot longer. If he's not joining the pro ranks until he's in his late 20s, it's kind of hard to really get to that world-class level.
Well, we'll keep an eye, we'll keep an ear on it. And, folks, you can always follow what Tony's doing with the Omaha World Herald online and, of course, makes a few appearances on the Bottom Line with Michael Sevier. Tony, thanks for giving us some time and all your expertise, man. Have a good summer.
All right, thanks. Talk to you soon, Doug.
Okay, bud. Tony Boone, you've known him. If you were around this part of the world long enough, you've known Tony doing his work here now, had moved on to be with family a few years ago, and he's doing his work down there at the Omaha World Herald, and that's a lot of boxing. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And, folks, we know one thing that the farmers enjoy in their field. That's T&L irrigation. The T&L system helps them have the best crop possible. We've got a little moisture this week. Most of the folks have got a lot of the crop in, so this could be almost perfect if they don't get flooded out. Just a little moisture, cooling it down, get things rolling here. But when the heat of June and July are baking down on you, T&L is there for you with their hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. So contact your T&L dealer or go to TLIRR.com to find out why T&L is like no other. T&L Irrigation Systems, the best around, low maintenance, safety, superior reliability, or why you should have a T&L in your field. We'll be back with more, including a win for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll talk later in the program with Wood River track coach Kevin Mayfield to preview the Lou Platt Conference. Stay with us.
Back in time, a caveman. His name was Ugg. Got tired of gathering nuts and berries. Decided that meat was a neat treat.
That mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Ugg now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat.
Love meat.
All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply. West off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. With over a 95-year heritage, two locations that include eight new car franchises and the used car superstore that is set to open very soon, Midway is searching for talented team members to join their workforce. If you're searching for a progressive and stable company to build a career, they'd love to talk to you. And you know what the best part is? We all know how that interview process is. You walk in, you might not even know what you're walking into. Midway is there for you. Go to MidwayCareers.com, see what openings there are, see what they're looking for. See if that matches up with what you're looking for. Then you can get together and join the Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac. A position with Midway will provide you the opportunity to build long-term relationships, have a positive impact on others, and, of course, all the work they do for the community. Come be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential at MidwayCareers.com. And, of course, if you are in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, they are there for you at the Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Sometimes, you know, you just get a chuckle. And watching sports last night after work, clicking through the channels, and just happened to stop on the pregame on ESPN. And Craig Counsell had become the new manager of the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday. You say the worst team. They have the worst record in Major League Baseball going into last night. They're going against Clayton Kershaw. They're going against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, if there was ever, I should have looked at the line in Vegas. It had to be monumental crazy, you know, like minus 240 or something. But they ended up winning the ball game 4-3. But, you know, it's 6:15 or 6:45, whatever the time was. I guess it was after the local stuff was on. You're in the first or second inning. And it's at Milwaukee, so the Dodgers are up first. The first batter, I mean, they're going the highlights, and the announcer goes, "You know it might be rough when your major league managerial career begins and you're down three pitches into the game." I don't know who hit the home run for the Dodgers, but I had to laugh out loud because the Dodgers, third pitch, home run, already up on the Brewers, and they take the lead, but Kershaw can't hold on. And that's the way things wrap up there. The Tri-City Storm are going through the second phase of the USHL draft right now at their offices in Kearney. Yesterday, they were able to keep very busy and select nine players in what's called the Futures Draft, or Phase 1. These are guys, as Coach Holton told us yesterday, that they hope can help a couple of years down the road. The first two already have their college commits. Riley Walsh, a defenseman out of Proctor Academy in New Hampshire, committed to attend and Harvard University. He's an offensive defenseman. He had 45 points in 35 games last season, 13 goals and 32 assists. And then the next pick was Joey Cipollone from the Connecticut Wolfpack under-16 team. He's already committed to the University of Vermont. As we said, Phase 2 is going on today for the Tri-City Storm. UNK news, the men's tennis team is playing in the NCAA tournament against Northwest Missouri State. Northeastern State has been a thorn in the women's side. They beat them 5-1 yesterday. That's the same team that eliminated them last year. It's the same team that's beaten them the last couple of years in conference, but it was a record-setting year for the tennis team. 22 wins against just 8 losses. And in golf, the final round of the Women's Central Regional in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, junior Anna Summers needs a decent round today, probably better than yesterday, and at least as good as Sunday. She shot 77 Sunday, 82 yesterday, didn't get a birdie, and she sets it a tie for 10th. Now, of course, the top teams move on, but the top three individuals not on one of those teams also gets to move on, and she's just a stroke or two off of that third position right now. So we'll see how it plays out as the final round is going on today. We'll take a final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little track, preview the Lou Platt Conference meet with Kevin Mayfield at Wood River. Stay with us.
Makes such the story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my journey of recovery. 5 years ago, addiction, major depressive disorder, and severe arthritis left me feeling hopeless. But with Goodwill's effective programs and compassionate, dedicated staff, I became hopeful my life could be different. Today, I am managing my illness, and life is good for me and my family. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Goodwill is celebrating people. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals and realizing dreams, what we all strive for, what Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story. Life is definitely good for me and future generations.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
Shelton Locker is very proud of the class of 2015. We are so lucky to be a part of such a great community in Shelton and love serving the freshest meat and the friendliest people. Shelton Locker is the place to go.
Minden Exchange Bank, a tradition of community banking. The money that's deposited with them is reinvested locally in the form of loans to area families, agriculture, and businesses. Best of luck, class of 2015.
Larry's Market in Shelton provides you with fresh foods right in your own hometown. Larry's has movie rentals, party supplies such as balloons, and deli sandwiches. Everything you need in Shelton. Proud of the graduating class of 2015.
It's springtime in Nebraska, and you know what that means. It's time to save 25% on your next set of tires at Big O Tires. This is Jeff from Big O, and through April 25th, when you buy three tires, you'll get the fourth tire free. And that could mean savings of up to $200 depending on your vehicle. And we're talking high quality, high mileage tires to fit most vehicles on the road today. So let the savings begin when you buy three tires and get one free only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
To be successful in the agricultural market these days, you need the best equipment, the highest quality seed, and a relentless work ethic. With so much riding on the bottom line, you can't afford to have anything but the Midwest Premier Crop Protection, when only the best will do. Look to the professionals at Farmers Mutual Hail Insurance Company of Iowa. They've protected America's farmers since 1893 with a combination of financial strength, long-term stability, and service. Put your trust in the Kroll Agency, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Nugget Nanny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Asked you yesterday if the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby, American Pharoah, will win the Triple Crown, and 89% said no. And I think the whole thing there, again, is the odds say no, but is the horse good enough? And again, as Jim and I discussed yesterday on the show, the pace, the time would not indicate that we'll have a Triple Crown winner this year. So we'll see if the 89% are correct. Today, they're getting close to voting on the NCAA men's basketball shot clock, moving from 35 seconds to 30 seconds. Are you in favor of a slicing 5 seconds off of the shot clock? Vote on our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. You know what? I haven't figured out yet if I think that 5 seconds is going to make a difference. I mean, let's face it. You get the best players in the world in the NBA with a 24-second shot clock. I guess I don't mind the 35. The problem is once they make the switch is made. It'll be 30 seconds, and it'll be 30 seconds for the foreseeable future. So I'm not sure on this one. I guess I would hedge. I would hedge towards keeping it at 35. Let's see what you think on our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, Thursday we'll be in Wood River, as we told you, for the Lou Platt Conference Track and Field Championships. And the head eagle is Kevin Mayfield. He takes some time away from his busy day and probably lunch to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kev, how are you?
Not too bad. Actually, I'm missing a little pre-algebra, so the kids are kind of happy.
Oh, that is outstanding. Thanks for that. And I have a bunch of emails and tweets, actually, from the kids that say, take my time with you.
You bet, I'm sure. Let's
get to the first one here so I don't forget it. This one comes from Dwayne in Kearney. He wants to know if the spread's going to be good Thursday.
I tell you what, anything Dwayne says is like gold.
Oh, I know you'll take care of him. Let's jump
in.
Yeah,
you bet.
Let's jump into the kid. Let's jump into the kids here at the meet. But let's start with Wood River. This is where it all gears up for most schools. Kind of that meet before conference because it's conference districts, and then hopefully for a majority of kids, state. So where do you think the Eagles are right now, both boys and girls?
Well, you know, this big meet of the year is, I'm sure, every team kind of gears their season towards conference and districts to end the season here. And we're a little banged up, as I'm sure every team is a little bit, got some owies here and there. But overall, we're pretty healthy. And I think girls-wise, we've got some good athletes that, if they perform well, can, you know, compete with the teams like Ord and Adams Central and Centura and that. Boys-wise, don't have the tremendous athletes with boys. We have some good kids that work hard, and we're just hoping to get a lot of personal records that day.
Kevin Mayfield, track coach at Wood River, is joining us here. As I look, and again, when you look at the times and distances, heck, you're never for sure, but I'll start with the girls, and shot and discus looks like we're going to have a pretty deep feel here for the ladies.
Yeah, it looks like. I was kind of looking at some of that, too, with the entries. And, you know, you have the Henry girl from Loup City and the Peter girl from Adams Central, Kuchera from Ravana, Grant from Ord, Squires is right in the mix there from Kearney Catholic. And they all have some very, very good marks, especially the shot. One thing I noticed in the shot this year, we have a freshman thrower, Ellie Luer. She's thrown over 36 feet. Which will win a lot of meets, a lot of years, and she's sitting about eighth or ninth in the shot. So definitely the girl shot put is tough.
Yeah, you've just, like you said, Addie Henry, just a youngster out of Loup City, and all those girls are towards the top, at least in the area, in both shot and disc. A gal that's gotten a lot of a pub, we've talked about her on this show before, and Jessica Rowart from your Wood River Eagles has to be the favorite in the sprints.
Yeah, Jessica's having a real good season. She has worked all year long and just progressively gotten better. Kind of started off the year, she got beat indoors by the Hubble girl from Blue Hill, and has just kind of kept her focused all year, and just each week has increased her time and is just running fantastic, and hopefully we can keep her rolling.
Ord has just tore things up in the distances, individually and in the relays. Will there be any competition for them on Thursday?
Well, I tell you what, Ord is as good a Class C team as I've seen in a long time. And, you know, Coach Tramp, he does a great job up there, and they've got some great athletes that have bought into his system. And, yeah, they're just I don't see anybody touching them team-wise. I'd say they're head and shoulders ahead of everybody. And the thing that probably sticks out most in my mind with them is, like you said, they're mid-distance runners. And at the Central Nebraska meet a couple weeks ago, they ran a 4:01, and that's just phenomenal.
Who will be chasing them down? Who's battling right after them on the girls' side?
You know, I think it's going to be pretty close. It could be Centura, could be Adams Central, could be Kearney Catholic, maybe Donovan Trumbull. A lot of it just depends on how the kids are going to perform and compete that day. I wouldn't count us out in being in the top three or four. You know, Ravana has some good athletes. I don't know if Ravana really has the depth, though. But it's definitely going to be a battle, and hopefully the weather won't have a whole lot to say with that. Never know.
Well, we look at the boys, and maybe not quite as much as the girls do I see conference names towards the top of the leaderboard, but one of those is in the hurdles, and one of those young men is Chance Bach from Ravenna. How deep is the hurdles going to be?
We've got some really good hurdlers. You know, Chance has had a great season running really well, and Adam Central is the one that I think can really push him or wreak havoc for him. You've got three very, very good hurdlers from Adam Central. Lynn Blatt, I know, is one of them, and then I think Engberg, and I can't think of the third kid's name, but they're all three very, very good hurdlers, and Donovan has a good hurdler too. So that's you never know in the hurdle race, anything can happen there.
Your boys also have a pretty good sprinter.
Yeah, Jorge Rodriguez has had a good season. He's been kind of up and down a little bit, but put together a good meet at Gibbon, been fairly consistent with us, so hopefully he can perform well for us in the 100 and 200. And then throw-wise for our boys, probably our best chance is Dan Bosshart. throwing really well in the discus, and actually he's leading the discus right now, so hopefully he can get a good throw for us.
Last minute here with Kevin Mayfield giving us some time ahead of the conference track meet at Wood River on Thursday. I've only touched on a couple. Are there a couple of other boys' events that you think are a little extra deep on Thursday?
You know, I've kind of been looking around here a little bit to see how it is, and I thought the hurdles, you know, were going to be really, really tough. Another interesting race, which always a lot of times comes down to the end of the meet, but the boys 4x4 looks like it could be exciting with Adam Central, Centura, and Kearney Catholic, and can maybe throw Ord into the mix there. The thing about relays, you never know who they're going to run if you're going to stack your relays and run them. The 4x1s are also fairly close. There's Donovan and Adam Central towards the top, and then you've got Kearney Catholic, Ord, and then us and Gibbon are kind of at the tail of that, but we're right in the mix. And again, the 4x1 with the handoffs, you just never know what's going to happen there.
Kevin, we talked about the girls' team race. How do you see the boys shaking out?
You know, I see it's definitely going to be closer. I would say Adam Central probably has to be the favorite. They've got tremendous athletes. They're well-coached, and they've got the depth. Kearney Catholic, they've got some kids that could perform in there. Centura's got some very good athletes. Ord's boys, they got a nice, solid team, so... again, you just never know. I wouldn't count Loop City Arcadia out of that either. So,
and Kevin, usually for a lot of these teams, whatever the class is, the conference sometimes, almost unfortunately, mirrors the districts. That's not really the case for you because only Centura and Donovan Trumbull will be along with you at conference and at districts.
Right, yeah. You know, as I tell our kids, I think the Loop Platte Conference is as tough as any conference around, and if they can get a place here, they've definitely earned it and done something well. Our district that we're in, we head down south to Sandy Creek, and obviously you don't have as many teams, but it's still very, very tough. We've got Hastings St. Cecilia, which, need I say more about them, they're traditionally very tough year in and year out. Grand Island Central Catholic, not real deep, but they have some tremendous athletes, especially on the boys' side. And then, like you said, we throw in Centura and Donovan and us, and should be a very competitive meet.
All right, things get going. Are we still on track? It kind of depends on the weather. We'll do all the field events at 9, and then the track events follow.
Yep, so far that's what we're shooting at. I think field events start at 9 and then running events at 12. Of course, it's Nebraska. You never know what the weather's going to be the next hour, but as of right now, it looks like Thursday might be the best day of the week, so hopefully we can get it in.
Well, last year's conference meet was definitely what weather was all about in Nebraska in one day over at St. Paul. So let's see if we can get some good times, and Kev, we'll let you get back to class. Thanks for giving us some time. We'll see you Thursday.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for your support. And I'm for leaving the shot clock at 35 seconds.
I will duly note that, Kev. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Take
tell
care.
Tell Dwayne we got lots of food for him here.
He could bring some, too. I'll tell him that
he
as
could.
Well.
He could.
Kevin, have a great day. We'll see you Thursday.
Yep, thanks a lot.
That's Kevin Mayfield, track coach at Wood River, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, as you heard, scheduled to start the field events, 9 o'clock. They'll get through all of those, and the running events will start at noon. We will start our reports around 11 o'clock. Some of those field events get over a little bit quicker than others. Others, we can give you updates on who's in the lead, like the shot, the disc, as those move along. And we will be there all day long till the meet is over, and we will have updates all day long from late morning till early evening Thursday from Wood River. So that's what we've got going on for you. I can't believe it. Could that possibly be everything? Could we have everything done? Have I ran through everything? I can't believe that that would be possible. As I slide through my notes, I think that we have pretty much wrapped everything up. Don't forget the NBA playoffs tonight. Washington's at Atlanta, Memphis at Golden State. Last night, interesting, both the Clippers and the Bulls picked up wins. So they have 1-0 leads, and they were able to get that done on the road. So big, big road wins yesterday. And in the NHL, you have got Washington leading the Rangers by a score 1-0 last night and 2-1 in the series. The Rangers, the pick of everyone out there at the Viero Event Center. Tonight, Chicago's at Minnesota, and Anaheim is at Calgary in the NHL. Kansas City Royals back at home tonight at Kauffman Stadium as they will be taking on the Cleveland Indians. First pitch is at 7:10, and you'll be able to hear all the action on the Breeze 94.5 FM. And again, don't forget tonight, it It is the 6th annual Loper Football Backers Banquet, which will be going on. Not banquet, it's really a fundraiser. The dinner and auction all gets going tonight with social hour at 5:30 at the Eunice Conference Center. The meals at 6:30 and the live auction will get underway at 7:30. Do want to thank our guests on the program today, including Wood River track coach Kevin Mayfield for joining us. Also to Tony Boone of the Omaha World Herald. Talk a lot of boxing, not only Pacquiao and Mayweather, but Nebraska's own Terrence Bud Crawford, who holds two belts right now. Tomorrow, we've got a lot more that we're going to be covering, jumping more into baseball. We've got some Huskers that we're going to be talking about as they get ready.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Ready for Purdue and a whole lot more. So enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.